So it would be best if you did not come up to me afterwards and try to shake my hand and that kind of thing, because if you haven't gotten this crud yet, you don't want it. All right. Now, excellent. Thanks, Miriam. We're going to do two things at the same time, and I hope they're going to be kind of fun. First of all, I'd like for some of you to, I mean, this is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Yay. All right. Some of you have some very fond memories of Mom. Okay? And we're going to give you an opportunity to share with us just a little bit about your mom. Now, I know that you could write a book about your mother. Okay? That, I mean, everyone could write a book about their mother. But we're going to give you like 15, 20 seconds to just share with us some of the things or one thing that you remember about your mother that was very special to you. All right? So we're going to do that. Matter of fact, in just a second, I'm going to have Clint Calvert and Leo Endel come up, and there's two mics. Matter of fact, guys, why don't you just come right now? But you guys be thinking about what you'd like to share with us about some memories of your mother, okay? So think about that. Now, and what you'll need to do is you'll just need to get their attention so they can walk over to you with the microphone. But we're going to do another thing, and that is some of the youth are going to help me with this. Guys, why don't you come up here? We're going to have a little survey on what you think about Mother's Day. And we're going to just have some fun with technology, because most of the time when you come into a place, they say, now for those of you with your cell phones, please mute them or turn them off. I'm saying, mothers, don't mute your cell phones. Don't turn them off. You are going to text this survey. All right? Now, if you have yourself, this is just for mothers. Don't you other guys stay wiggle in on there, okay? All right. You're going to text to that number. Oh, some of you are already doing it. See that? The text is 22333. And if you love it, text the number 207129. All right? If you can take or... You guys are already getting it figured out. All right, but if you don't have your phone, the youth are going to come along and they'll do it real fast for you. All right? So, are you guys, so, mothers, if you're here and you don't have your cell phone and you haven't already started with that, like, then you kind of wave at the youth, all right, and they'll come over and they'll text your answer. All right, but for those of you who want to tell us something about your mother, then you need to get either Leo's or Clint's attention. All right, so youth, head out there and see if you can find some mothers who don't have cell phones or who don't know how to text, and you help them with that. Okay. Now, would anyone like to just would anyone like to share something about their mother? You're going to have to raise your hand real good if you're going to share something about your mother. The texting is going well. Okay, Mike back there. Someone get to Mike. Oh, no, he doesn't.
This is...
Yes, you're on.
Well, I thank God that for all the children my mother raised, she had 8 of us, and she was a very special woman in all our lives, and she just, I remember most of all that she was the best baker in the world, and she could make things that make my mouth drool, and she did it on my birthday especially. She made a wonderful angel food cake that I can still remember, and she always was thought of us kids above herself.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Someone else? By the way, anyone else need to text? Raise your hand right now for texting. The kids are looking. Hey, it looks like we've had 37 results so far. We probably pretty much got it, the texting taken care of. Thank you. And that might change just a little bit. We'll talk about that in a minute, though. Anyone else want to share something about their mother? Anyone else? There you go. Oh, come on. We want to hear you.
All right. Yeah, I have to do it. Okay.
He's big.
My mom was the first one that taught me how to pray. It's hard to imagine now because now I'm telling her she has to pray when she usually comes straight to me and asks me questions to figure out. But I just have to tell her to go to God. But she was the first one that told me how to pray.
Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, there we go. Clint? Oh, okay.
My mom has always made it important to me that I always know God, and like I always am very involved. And like every time I talk about a girl to my mom, she's always asked, first question is she a Christian? And so, yeah, that's it.
And what is your answer? Jason, right there.
My mom, she kept me alive. I had two older brothers, and it was incessant beatings. I'm surprised I grew up to be so pretty. But we always had food on our table. We moved around a ton when we were kids, and so I was always trying to find new friends and everything else. But mom was always there for me. And then as I got older, and I met Brooke, and then Susan came along, and she gave me the perspective of a Christian family, a Christian mom. And I could see how different that was from how I grew up, and then how much of it was the same also. And she's just helped out a lot. Things that none of her other many kids won't stand up. I will say something for her. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Well, my mother was a great example, and she was very patient. And she always would put others above herself. Like, even if she wouldn't get something, she would just say she didn't really want it or something, but she'd always put others above herself. So I'm thankful to her.
Amen.
My mom always took us to church every time. From birth, you know, I was in church about every Sunday. And she always taught me that the most important thing was to be kind to others.
See, my mom, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but my mom was very loving and very caring for me. And somehow the thing that came to my mind is when I was sick as a kid and getting these hot Vicks vapor rubs on my chest and my mom sitting there taking care of me. I guess that's kind of what I thought of when you said that. So.
Yeah.
As a mother of nine and me being the ninth child, my mother taught me a lot of patience and to love God more than anything or anyone. And I praise God for her and for her life.
The last of nine. Wow.
All right. Hi. Figured I should say something. So, my mom is awesome. Just say that right now. She can make anything out of anything. We have March Merriment Weeks at our school where you have to have an outfit for every day, and they only tell you the night before. And there are four of us who all need costumes. And she will find our old clothes and find fabric and buttons and odds and ends. She made a Cat in the Hat outfit out of who knows what. I've decided not to ask anymore what this is made out of. But yeah, she's awesome.
Thank you. Like three more. Okay, Miriam.
For anyone who's met my mom, you know she's a mom, not just to our whole Benson crew, but she's a mom to everyone else. And throughout the years, she has been a living example to me of a godly mother, a mom and a woman who has a strong relationship with God. And I couldn't have asked for a better woman in my life.
Amen. Two more. Two more. All right, up here, Joey.
All right, so for anybody that knows my mom, she likes to work really hard, and yesterday she made a list and said, Joey, you only have to do two things, and she always has us carrying rocks. There's always a project. where she gets these big limestone rocks, and she's like, let's carry them over here. So, you know, and we'll move them all over the yard the entire summer.
Sounds like a prison.
And, she said, Joey, today you don't have to carry rocks. And I was like, oh, thanks, Mom. So she goes out there, and it really early in the morning, and I'm eating breakfast outside, and she goes and she picks up this rock, and she goes, oh, it's really heavy. And she kind of limps over and sets it down and goes, ow. So what can I do? I have to help her carry rocks. So I help her carry rocks, just one. And I don't know, she's a very hard worker, and she makes do with what she can, and she does a really good job.
One more. Jeff. Thanks, Clint.
My mother is a baker, and she, every birthday, I get a pumpkin pie. That's my favorite. And so I thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, guys. Well, you know, as you can hear, you can look at the statistics of what we just had from just the mothers in here. 80% love Mother's Day. All right? 15, I can take it or leave it. Okay? There's a lot of stories there, I'm telling you. But see that 5%? I don't like it. There's some stories there. You see, for some people, Mother's Day is tough. It's hard. And so, some of you are sitting in here just rejoicing, you got your families with you, but you know, there's others who are sitting here and it's tough. It's a hard day for them. Maybe they lost a child. Or maybe their children are not living living for the Lord. And it's difficult. And so, you know how we've gotten used to the fact that there are some people during Christmas time that they don't like Christmas because memories are different things. And well, it happens that way with Mother's Day too. Matter of fact, there are a lot of ladies who just find themselves absent from church on Mother's Day. And there's a reason for that. Miriam, would you go ahead let's go over to the PowerPoint now. There's reasons for that because I remember doing this myself as a pastor, where I'd come up with three critical things for you moms, or seven steps to being a better mom, or all of these kind of sermons that, you know, and you go to the Word and you come up with a passage and you look at these models of perfection, you know, and say, here's what you need to do. And what happens is, a lot of times on Mother's Day, it ends up being a time where you walk out and you feel guilty. Now, I remember when I was growing up, I didn't much care for Mother's Day because there were a couple of reasons, but the one I really remember was I would listen very carefully to what the preacher preached on because I knew that that was going to be the marching orders at my house for the next 3 weeks. But that was all it was going to last. Okay? Because my mother would be guilted into doing whatever the preacher said, and it would last about 3 weeks, and then we'd get back to normal. All right? You know what I'm talking about, Jeremy? All right? Maybe your mother was, that didn't happen, but I kind of dreaded Mother's Day. And but there are some people who still dread Mother's Day. But when we come to this, I'm not here to make anyone feel any guilt. I just want you to know that being a mother is a high calling. Now we're going to look at some things, maybe. Oh, Bridge to Life. Miriam, did you do that or did I?
I did.
All right. I think that my remote... All right. Bingo. All right. I've been thinking about motherhood, and you realize that motherhood, you as mothers, you are really a bridge to life. Now, we know that. There would be no world here without mothers. Okay? One generation, if mothers cease to do their jobs, cease to become mothers, one generation, it's over. Okay? And so God has used you ladies as bridges to life. Now we know what bridges are. All right, here's one of my favorite. Anyone recognize this bridge? All right, what bridge is that? It is. Absolutely. It's the Lift Bridge in Duluth. Julie and I were there, I don't remember, whenever we were there. I'll just say, we were there just the other day. That could mean 2 years ago. But we were there, and we were out on the end of the pier, and I looked back, and I thought, wow, that thing's beautiful. And so I took my phone, and I snapped some pictures, and lo and behold, here was this beautiful thing that's come up. This happens to be one of my favorite bridges. We lived there for 9 years, and I just really love that bridge. And so we think about a bridge. What does a bridge do? The bridge gets you from one side to another. And ladies, you are bridges to life. You have brought life. God has used you to bring life into this world. And the bridges that you are to us as human beings are much more critical, much more important than my favorite bridge right here. All right, you are a bridge to life. Now, I want to talk a little bit about my mom. You guys got to talk a little bit about yours. This is Gail Frances Bergen, who later became Gail Frances Bergen Sundin. I remember the first time I saw this picture. She never had it out. But I was in high school, and I looked at that, and it was like, wow. Now, you shouldn't wow your mom like that. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't even know who it was. All right? I saw her, and it's like, wow, that is a beautiful lady. Right? It was my mom. There she is. Now, here's her getting married. Now, I know you can't see that very... you can see it. See that huge smile on her face? Well, I just want to tell you, that smile wasn't there most of the time I was growing up. She blames it on me. But I had a brother and sister, but... I just want you to know that she's beaming ear to ear there. She's getting married, of course. There's my father. Matter of fact, you can't really see it too well, but right there, that is the ring that my mother got for my father, and I have it on. All right? I wore it today in honor of my mother. I look at my dad there, and everything's changed except two things. His hands look identical, and he wears his hair the same way all of his life. And it's hard to see it there, but he never will change his hair. Now, Lexi's laughing because she knows. All right, that's her grandfather. All right, but this was a very happy day for her, but my mother typically was not a happy person. Okay? Now, here's a picture of my mom and dad later on. I want you to know that when I grew up with my mother, it was not easy. All right? And some of the grandkids, the older kids, they felt some of that when they were visiting grandma. All right? She was very easy to get angry. All right? And sometimes we were mean and would just make her angry. Okay, I mean, it's just, you know, and it was very easy for her to become sad and depressed. And I remember I was in Waterloo, Iowa. I was visiting my cousin, and we were, I think, I can't remember if I was still in high school or if I'd already was in college, but he confided in me that their family was always praying for me. Said, well, that's great, but why? He says, well, because of your weird mom. Now, see, his family knew my mom, okay? And they were worried that we kids were going to grow up badly. And of course, man, I defended my mom, okay? But he was right, right? My mom was not perfect. She wasn't even close to perfect. She's still my mom, all right? And there were times when I didn't even want to be around her, times when I did not want to go home. But here's a picture of the whole family. All right? I've got three of my four kids in this picture. What? Not the whole family. That's right. Lexi was not born yet. But by this time, my mother was battling cancer. My mom battled cancer for 25 years. She got cancer when she was 50, and she died at 75. She battled cancer for 25 years. And God changed her. God transformed her. Here's another picture of my mom and dad. This is probably when my mom was about 74. She might have been 73. But here's another thing to see. See, there's that ring I told you that mom bought for my dad. But see that ring there? Dad got that as inheritance. He didn't like wearing rings very much, but mom liked it. So she had him wear it. I got that one on too. And Julie likes it. She likes me to wear it. So hey, I'll wear it. So I got both those rings on, kind of in honor of my mom. But guys, I want you to know, by the time this picture was taken, my mom had become very important to me. Here's one of the last pictures that I have of her before she totally had no more hair and had to wear wigs and stuff. And I'm telling you, I adored this woman. I had gone from not enjoying her at all to absolutely adoring her. Now, we all do kind of strange things, but this is the grave site in Lincoln, Nebraska, or outside Lincoln, Nebraska. And one of the things my mom always wanted me to do is she wanted me to finish my doctorate. So she was always on me. David, when are you going to get this done? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? I finally said, Mom, you're driving me crazy. Quit asking me. And it saddened her. But after I got it done, of course, she was already dead. Now, this isn't good theology, guys. But after it was done, I went to the gravesite and I sat down there and I verbalized my entire dissertation. Okay? Now, could she hear me? No, come on. You know, she's up in heaven enjoying God. But it was something therapeutic for me because I absolutely adored this woman. And it was tough for me when I was growing up because I didn't hate her. But my dislike for her was so strong. But God changed me and God changed her. And I just want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you think about Mother's Day. It doesn't matter how good and how wonderful or how bad and how terrible your mother may have been. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter how well you think you have been a mother. I get a big kick out of Julie, my wife. She oftentimes does exactly what a lot of you ladies will do. She thinks, oh, I am not a good mom. And I chuckle inside because I remember how I grew up. All right? And she's an awesome mom. She's awesome. But there's always these things that go on in your hearts and in your lives that make you think, oh man, I have let my Lord down. I have let my family down. I've let my kids down. You know what? I just want to say to you, this life isn't over. And God has a lot of growing for you to do because you are bridges to life. But you aren't a bridge to life alone. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a bridge to life. Now, ladies, I put this man up here, you know, said man, but this represents your children. This represents mankind as a whole. All right? You brought this into existence. Congratulations. All right? You did this. We have a lot of babies in this church, and it's awesome. Okay? But you guys did this. All right? But man has a problem. Your kids have a problem. That's what this is. See that? You guys know what that means, don't you? Look, we'll do it again. All right? This is what they are when you first have them and you think they're perfect. All right? Doesn't take very long before, bang. You realize, these kids aren't perfect. You aren't perfect. All right? Sin comes in. We get messed up. You did this. You brought this into the world. Congratulations. It's wonderful. You're part of God's plan. But this morning, I would like to share with you Romans 6:23. Now, my boss is going to tease me incessantly tomorrow, if I even go to work, because of my long introduction. We are going to get to a passage. Romans 6:23. Mothers, I want to encourage you, if you have not already memorized this passage, I want you to memorize this passage. Because here's what it says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the whole text we're going to look at today. It's easy. You can memorize this in a few minutes, and most of you probably already have it memorized. But the reason that we want to memorize this is because you are a bridge to life, but you are not in this alone because God also has a bridge to life. Now, one of the things we got to realize is that our kids are sinful. All right? It doesn't take very long before our kids do stuff that they shouldn't do. Now, I do have one perfect kid. I'm just waiting for her to mess up. But there are things there. We're all sinful. All right? We are all sinful. Lexi, did you think I was talking about you? I'm sorry. There's Andrea back there. I got two of my daughters here today. All right. Sin. That's what that black ink spot is. And so therefore we have sin in the very center of our lives. You have it, your kids have it. But there's another word here. It's wages. All right? Because of the sin, they are going to get paid something. It's called the wages. The wages of sin. So we've got some wages in here also. See this lining up here? This is us. We are messed up. Our kids, they're messed up. They're good kids, but they're still messed up. They're sinful. And there's wages. And it says there what the wages are. It's death. Now the death they're talking about here is not just the death that everyone is just going to die. We're all going to die. I felt like dying yesterday. Not really. But I have been sick enough that I thought I was going to. But that wasn't yesterday. But I felt pretty bad. But this death, this is spiritual death. And ladies, you know, when you bring us into the world, you've got to understand that when you're holding us as little and you have all the hopes and dreams, there is a problem. And it will demonstrate itself very quickly. And it ultimately ends up in a spiritual death. Moms, you got to realize this about your kids. You also have to realize this about yourself. This describes you, and it describes your kids. And the fun thing is that this is what God uses. You are who God uses to bring life into this world so that He can bring life. We'll see that more. Well, look at this. The big but. All right, my mom always just told us that but was a verbal eraser. If you tell someone real nice and you say but, you've just erased all that. Okay? You know how that works. But is the verbal eraser. Well, in God's economy of things, I like that eraser. Because I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, oh man, I'm sinful. The wages, what I'm going to get paid for that is eternal death. But there's that but out there. It's up there. I'm pointing to this. But there it is. Now notice it's outside of us. It's outside of us because there's nothing that your kids can do that will help them with this. Their help comes from outside. Now, there's another player in here. It's God. We've got man's side. We've got God's side. Let's put God up there. Here's God. Notice, He's not in that sin. He's separated from it. Man is trying to get to God. You look all over the world, you see all kinds of religions. Our kids are trying to get to God. Some of them are going to make it, some aren't. But there's that but there. It's very important. Now notice what it says, that He has given us a gift. Some of your translations will actually say free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. But He has a gift. So we're going to line that up. next to God. Notice, He's got a gift. We have wages. He has a gift. It's also of God. So we're going to put of God over here. This means it's good. It's wonderful. We have sin, bad. But the gift from Him is wonderful. What we get with that is death. What He gives is eternal life. So here it is. We bring our kids into the world. They're sinful. They're going to get paid for their sinfulness. It's eternal death. But, God has a gift. It's from Him. It's perfect and it's good. And it is eternal life. You brought us into the world physically. God is going to redeem us spiritually. Now there's another player in this. It's Jesus Christ. All right? And now, I thought about how to say this, but the "but" there refers to Jesus Christ. All right? God is over here with His stuff. We are sinful, but that "but" there is what Jesus Christ did. Ladies, there is no greater task that you have than to teach your children about Jesus Christ. He bridges the gap. He is the bridge. But notice it also says that He's our Lord. How did He become our Lord? You guys know this already. He died on the cross for our sins. This is the greatest thing you can teach your children about how God loved them so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for their sins. But it's not quite finished yet. Notice there's a through. Now some of your passages will say, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But sometimes if you look there, there'll be a little footnote. And it'll say, or through. Because the only way that we can get to God is to go through Jesus Christ. When I was 5 years old, I was playing in my room. And I came to the realization, I was playing church in my room actually. And I came to the realization that I had not accepted Jesus as my Savior. All right? I was playing church. I was preaching. I would have loved to have had that tape, okay, of a five-year-old preaching. But I was preaching and I was giving the invitation. I was playing church, giving the invitation, and I realized that I'd never done it. And so I stopped the service, went out, found my mom. I've told you this before. But I stopped the service, went out, found my mom, told her I needed to accept Christ, and my mom was with me when God ushered me into the kingdom. And she knelt down at the bed with me. Now I'll bet she had a big smile on her face that day. Okay? And she was there with me. And she was there to pray with me. And I would have never even remembered the day that I accepted Christ had she not written it down in her diary. And it's wonderful to go back and read what my mom wrote about when I knelt down beside her and her bed and accepted Jesus Christ. She was there with me. And it comes through Christ. So we got an arrow here. Man coming through Christ. But you know what? Jesus can be a barrier or He can be a bridge. Moms, you got a great opportunity. Because this is the key right here. Trust. Trust opens the door so Jesus is not a barrier, but He literally is the bridge. And you have an opportunity to help your children trust God. At that point, through their trust, they get to God. They now don't have to worry about the wages of sin and eternal death. They have the gift of God, which is eternal life. You are the bridge to life. You gave them birth. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that they could have eternal life. And God works with you and through you to help them come to understand this. So basically, what must we do? The first thing is we need to agree with God. If For anyone who's been through some of my evangelism training, you'll see this outline, but we got to agree with God. We got to agree with God about our sin, and we've got to agree with God about His Son. You need to teach your children who Jesus is. You need to teach them about their sin and who Jesus is. But just the head knowledge is not enough. They've got to come to the point where they're asking God. And some of you have had the privilege of kneeling down with your children and praying with them to receive Jesus Christ, asking God to forgive and asking God to lead. It's a simple little outline, but it radically changes life. You brought life into the world, and God works through you to bring your children and yourself to eternal life. When this happens, here's what happens. Maybe. Oh, back it up. Sometimes I'm sitting. Miriam, would you back that up once? Maybe twice. Can you? Well, I had this cute little slide that took the ink away. Sin's gone. All right? And this is what God has chosen to do with you, in you, and through you. Some of you are going to look and you're going to say, well, I wasn't the greatest mother that there was. All right? But my mom, at age 50, I didn't like her so much. Age 75, I adored her. Why? Because she decided that she wanted to be a woman of God. And it was ever so slight, but there was a change. And she changed. And she became what God wanted her to be through her cancer. She died 7 years ago. This June 1st will be 7 years ago. I miss her greatly. I would love to talk with her again. I would love to hug her neck. But I know this, that someday I am going to join her where she is. And she is going to be stunningly beautiful, perfect in every way. No flaws, no problems. And ladies, that's describing you too. And your children, no flaws, no problems. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and what we get to do, He's made that difference in us. Ladies, all I want to do, encourage you today, is just one simple thing. Submit yourself to God and let Him change you so that He is able, through you, to change the world. That's what we want. Now, I don't know if you've seen these down here, but we've got some nations. And here's what I'd like to do. For those of you who are mothers here today, I would like for you to come up here and grab one of these flowers. And I would like for you just to stay right here because I want to pray for you. So, Julie, do you think you can hobble up here? Julie twisted her ankle the other day, but she's going to make it. So, moms, come on. Come on up here. Grab a flower. And then just let me pray for you. Go ahead. Just grab one of those carnations. Yeah, so there's. Grab a carnation. Wow, this is great. There's 25 of you here. There's actually 50 of these carnations. If you want two, go for it. Everyone go ahead, yeah. You know, that carnation is not going to last very long, I know. But as you look at it for the next couple of days, just remember the beauty that God wants to bring about in your life and how He wants to work in your life to transform the world. Let me. You guys stand up, and we're going to be praying for them. But you pray for them also. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you give us life. We are here because our mothers had us. We are here because we were saved. Father, we are here because you chose to bring us into this world, and you chose to give us our moms. Thank you for that. So I pray for each one of these moms that are up here. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for what they have meant to their children. Father, I thank you what they will mean to their children. And Father, right now, I want to ask this, that you would help them be better tomorrow because of what you are doing and what they are today. And Father, as they look back on their life, I pray you would help them to see a legacy of how you worked in their life to bring about life and to bless these women, Father. We love them and we ask that you would work mightily in and encourage them to pass. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Oops, sorry.